Turning our attention to snowshoeing and other winter sports as well. Heck, we don't have to just keep it to snowshoeing. We can do a little cross-country skiing as well, or some other outdoor sports, things that we can do in the wintertime. Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga of Madison Paddle Sports Shop, Wisconsin Outdoor Outfitters, probably the largest paddle sports shop in the world?
You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Pretty close.
It doesn't really matter.
But it's pretty close to that.
But it's pretty close.
I'll tell you what, if you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a question about snowshoes. Darren brought some snowshoes in. I bet ones that he made. We'll find out about that. But you may have a question about snowshoes or snowshoeing, or maybe a little about other winter sports. I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. And well, it's always good to have you here.
It's always good to be here. I love this.
I was looking at some of our public radio staff yesterday made it to work on snowshoes.
Three of us made it to work yesterday.
On snowshoes?
I told everybody else to stay home. We didn't make it there on snowshoes, but we definitely used snowshoes to help clear the parking lot. And it was actually a really nice day, just answering the phones and chilling out in the basement.
Once in a while, it's just nice to have one of those days. You don't want them all the time, but once in a great while.
Well, my office is cleaner than it normally is. And listen to some bluegrass and just had a nice time.
Well, you brought some snowshoes, and those snowshoes are ones you made?
Yeah. Judith, your producer, requested I bring some in because we all know visual effects are so important for radio. Yeah, here you are, visual aid. They're the ones I made, they're an Ojibwe type, laced with a very thin nylon, which approximates rawhide once it's varnished with a good spar varnish. And they hold up real well. They're fun. That's kind of an experiment I did to see how that would work, and they turned out quite nicely.
They look beautiful. I saw you leaning up against them here just before the show started. They look just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, they're really pretty. I mean, there's a nice aesthetic to the traditional shoes, and they actually work really well.
You've taught classes. You've certainly made your own and taught classes, have you not?
Yes, I've taught classes in snowshoe building, and it's always fun.
I think it's the one of the nice things about it, you get a pair of snowshoes, the right pair, ones that are, you know, sort of fit you and what you're interested in, and you just put them on and go. I mean, there's not a whole lot of training going on here.
No. The thing I've said forever is there's two steps to snowshoeing: put them on, and the second is walk.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real classes or anything that needed. A few little tips and techniques, but for the most part, you just do it.
Well, John in Eau Claire has a comment or a question, so let's go there. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. My question is actually about equipment for cross-country skiing. I have wide feet, and I've been completely unable to find any boots that will fit my feet that I can cross-country ski on, and I wondered if there was a possible supplier or if it's possible to put cross-country ski bindings on boots so that they can be used on a cross-country ski.
Boy, great question. How wide are your feet, roughly?
I'm sorry?
How wide are your feet?
Are you like triple E or? Oh, breaking up. I'm sorry.
I'm going to guess they're double E or something like that. That's fairly normal. So there's a couple things you can do. You can use a regular hiking boot that works for you and put on sort of an old-fashioned cable binding, which is what they used to use for mountaineering. It's not as light. It's not as actually, it's pretty secure. It's not a bad way to go. It's certainly not the ultralight. It's more for doing what I call the arboretum shuffle. You know, you're not going to go out and really get some kick and glide out of it. But they'll hold the skis on your feet quite well. They're actually really nice for tripping. If you go up to, like, the Boundary Waters and do a trip where you're pulling a toboggan, it's nice not to have to be able to change in and out of your shoes all the time. The other option is there are custom boot makers. There's one out in Utah, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'll remember it later. who will build custom leather boots for you. And if you want to put a cross-country ski type sole on the front, so you've got a 3-pin binding in the front, you can do that. They're not cheap, but as a person with a wide foot, you're probably used to paying a little bit more for shoes.
Yeah.
And they will last forever. And if they get damaged, he'll repair them. It's a one-time purchase. So I highly recommend it for people who have feet that are difficult to fit.
So keep that in the back of your mind, Darren.
Let's let it rattle around in there for a while.
Let it rattle around there for a while. And so I have your callers keep listening, and eventually it'll probably pop into Darren's head. We had an email from Beth. By the way, if you want to join us, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Beth in Hammond wonders, how do you pick the right size shoes for snowshoeing? She also wondered about cross-country skis for children, too. And this is for children. So how do you pick the right snowshoes for children? And then maybe something on cross-country skis as well.
Good questions. The smaller the shoe, the better for kids. Some people tend to go overboard on flotation. Truth is, kids don't weigh that much. And the thing you don't want to do is take a kid out into super powdery snow the first time, because, you know, they're going to, we call post-holing, they're just going to make a dent in the snow, and they're going to get tired and not enjoy it. So start them off with a smaller shoe on consolidated snow, which is, you know, nice and compact. After a day or two of sitting, it'll be easier to walk on. And don't try and go too big. They don't need a whole lot. As far as ski goes, it's pretty much the same. You want to go with a smaller, shorter ski. They're not going to get the glide out of it they would out of a longer ski. But for, 2 to 5 years old, that's probably a good thing. And then I recommend you don't use poles with young kids. They get bad habits. In fact, adults get bad habits too. Start to lean on them too much to support yourself rather than using your natural balance.
Okay, so stay away from the poles and a little bit shorter skis.
If you got a choice, go on the short side. That's an opinion, not a fact.
Yeah.
But my experience with my kids is if you go too big, they just go down hills a lot faster than they want to. Or than I want them to.
You know, I'm surprised. You know, we've just changed this year, got Emily new skis, and they're a little bit longer than the others. You know, she's gotten taller over the years, and she's done really well. And I don't know if it's this, the skis are a little bit longer now, or that she's now 7 instead of 5 or 6 and just has more balance or what, but she's really doing well on those skis.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, I'm sure. You know, when they get to that 7-8-year-old range, they can start to really get some kick and glide. I mean, I'm talking about normal kids like my kids who don't ski every day. I'm sure if you're a cross-country ski elite athlete and you want to take your kids out, you can get them on better equipment earlier. But for the majority of us, it's not quite that way.
You're right. Roland in Wausau, we're on to you now. Thanks, Roland, for calling.
Thank you. I wanted to comment. I have 2 artificial hips,
okay,
and snowshoeing for me is fantastic. I miss it when the weather's too nice to get out on the snow. It's kind of like an athlete swinging a heavy bat. I come back from snowshoeing, and I feel marvelous. So if people are concerned about, you know, prostheses or whatnot, it's great. And the other comment I was going to make is to Larry. My son, who is a professional athlete, once told me not to worry about all the ice cream I consume, because if you keep yourself in good enough shape, ice cream's a health food.
You're Roland, I like how you think, and I like how your son thinks. Thank you.
Amen, Roland.
Well, so you don't have any problem with artificial hips. With your artificial
No, it's actually an advantage. I've got ankle weights that I used for hiking during other parts of the year, but it doesn't compare to the advantage I get from snowshoeing.
Oh.
I live right on the river. I'm out on the river and on the islands just whenever possible.
Oh, it sounds great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I appreciate the call very much. And, oh boy, we've got lots of callers online here. Susan in Oregon has a comment on wide shoes. Susan, hi.
Hi. My son has a wide foot, although I'm not sure if it's super wide, but he was having a hard time fitting cross-country boots. And we went to one of the stores where they measured his foot, and they used some inserts in the boots that went along the bottom part of the foot. And so they were able to get a boot that would normally maybe be too big or sloshy on him, but they put those inserts in, and it kind of firmed up the heel area, and they were able to fit him with a boot that way.
Hmm. You know, I'm going to give Darren a chance to comment on that right after we take a quick look at the news. Thanks a lot, Susan, for calling. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. So happy to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison, a great paddle sports shop, one of the largest in the world, and maybe the largest. I don't know. We're not sure. At any rate, we're talking with him, zeroing in a bit today on snowshoeing and other winter sports. I hope you'll join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or via email at talk@wpr.org. And we had a comment, a couple of questions relating to size of shoes and what you can do to make shoes fit better if your feet are too big or perhaps even too small.
Yeah, there's a couple things. I mean, the first gentleman that called, my guess is when he says, I have a really wide foot, he has a really wide foot.
Yeah.
If you've got a slightly wider foot, if you pull the insole out of the boot and replace it with something that is more like an orthotic, you can sometimes redistribute the volume of your foot in a way that doesn't, you know, cause it to have pressure on the side. There's a product called Superfeet, which a lot of people who spend time outside use them in their hiking boots or uh-huh. things like that, that just work a little bit better than the standard insole in a shoe. So, you know, that's a good thing to try. So, you know, good advice.
We had David in Cross Plains emailed and wondered if you could talk a little bit about things to look for when purchasing snowshoes. What do we need to look for?
That's kind of like asking what you need to look for when you buy a car.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit vague. It depends on the terrain you're on. I guess that's probably the best analogy. If you're, you know, living on a farm and you've got muddy roads to go over, you probably want some sort of farm truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want more performance, you probably want something a little bit more sporty, like a sports car. So there are snowshoes that fit all those different categories. The biggest is called an Alaskan, and that's the big sort of, you know, teardrop shaped ones. You see, when you think about snowshoe, you see the guys,
you
know, carrying the backpack up north with the mail. And those are big, 12 by 60, and have a lot of flotation. They're really good for carrying a big load or a big guy, mm-hmm. you know, and I'd call, you know, the kind of terrain we have in Wisconsin, you know, rolling hills. Mm-hmm. I used a pair of traditional shoes out at Governor Dodge last weekend, and they worked just great, you know, little uphill, little downhill. If you're out west, when there's more consolidated snow, more, you know, crust, you know, things like that, and you're going up very steep hills, a more modern shoe works quite well. They've got a built-in crampon on the bottom, which is basically a set of teeth that will dig in a little bit better than a traditional shoe. So, and then it's just size. If you live in a place where the snow's fluffy all the time, you get a bigger shoe. If it's more consolidated, you know, if I lived in Indiana and wanted a snowshoe, I'd probably buy something a little smaller because the snow there tends to, you know, be a little yeah. bit more wet and more compact. So, you know, I hope that answers the question
right.
somewhat.
Let's go to Sherry in Delafield next. Sherry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a question about the buckles. I can take a few steps, but then they come loose.
Okay, you got an old pair of snowshoes?
Yeah, they're really old.
Yeah, the snowshoe is only the part of it, right? The binding is also super important, and it depends on the kind of binding you have. One of two things is happening. Either it's not adjusted properly, or it's just not a very good binding. Both those things will cause your foot to slip out of it after a couple steps. I use a specific kind of binding called the Faber A3 from a company up in Quebec, and you know, we have them at the shop just because it's what I use. It's a full grain leather. They're really tough. Your foot does not move in them. And once I put them on last Saturday, I walked for 3 hours and they didn't budge.
No.
Okay. And you recommend not using ski poles at all?
Oh, no. For snowshoeing, if you want to use ski poles, that's great. It's more for when a child wants to learn how to cross-country ski, you want to take away that crutch so they
okay.
don't get bad habits. But no, ski poles are, that's a great comment, actually. Ski poles are great for giving you a little bit more balance, especially in deeper snow. So, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. There you go, Sherry.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And William and Frederick, on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry and Darren, how are you doing today? It's a pretty great winter for snow activities this year, I guess.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep.
Well, I had a couple ideas on snowshoe trails up in northwestern Wisconsin if the listeners wanted to take a look on the Norwiski website, and that's www.norwiski.com. That's a publication done by Ron Bergen out of Cable, Wisconsin, and it's cross-country ski and snowshoe trails, and there's almost a dozen snowshoe dedicated trails that he covers in his brochure and on the website. So there's just a lot of opportunities across the state of Wisconsin, but that's a northwestern thing. And one other comment, ironically, the Snowshoe Nationals this year are going to be held in Cable, Wisconsin, March 11th and through the 13th. That's a national competitive snowshoe event that moves around the country. It was down in Elm Creek in the Twin Cities a couple of years ago. Big crowds, very competitive athletes from all over the country that will show up for that. So that's another little plus for northern Wisconsin. And one comment that I had on something I've noticed, I'm a volunteer ski trail groomer and all sorts of stuff up here. I run around the food stops at the Berkey, so I'm around winter sports. But a lot of the people we see out on the trails on cross-country skis, I think, should probably be on snowshoes, and I think it's kind of a fault of the dealers that are convincing people to be out there on snowshoes. And the reason I say that, you watch them, and they're basically walking on their skis.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd probably be a lot better off and a lot better served by being on a pair of snowshoes. And you know, the trails mm-hmm. and the terrain and everything else are suited for that, and now we have a lot of specific snowshoe trails. So
you're absolutely right, and that's why I call it the Arboretum Shuffle. You know, they don't really glide, they just kind of move their feet forward and backward. But you know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, the reason I like snowshoeing most of the time, I mean, I do ski with my wife, is I can take pictures on snowshoes really easily. I just stop, I turn around, I take a picture. On skis, you got to find a place to stick your poles. You might start sliding. You're right. It's a different kind of activity. And the other thing, what I thought you were going to say is that I see a lot of snowshoers walking over ski trails.
Actually, up here, a lot of the Balsam Branch Ski Trail by Amory, and you get up around Telmark and that area, there are specific trails in conjunction with the ski trails, and they may cross the ski trails once in a while. But generally, I've seen folks mm-hmm. are pretty conscientious about respecting each other's piece of the woods. So.
That's wonderful to hear, because Governor Dodge wasn't like that last weekend. it was pretty rough.
Well, and William mentioned the Nationals, the Wisconsin, you know, hosting the National Snowshoe Championship this year. That's great.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy that weekend.
is that the weekend of Canucopia?
That is the weekend, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're not going to be there.
No, but snowshoe racing, it's really exciting.
I'm amazed. I've watched some, too.
Well, you know, I'm amazed at guys that run 450 miles for 26 miles, right?
Yeah.
These people are running sub-6s on snowshoes, and it's like I can't even ride a sub-8 on dry ground, you know? So, yeah, they're amazing. Amazing athletes.
And a lot of fun to watch one of those races. I thought, oh, snowshoe race, I'm going to be, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch.
A lot of snow kicked up.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah. Justin in Appleton, well, let's go to you. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hi. Very much enjoying the show here so far. I got out and did a little bit of snowshoeing this weekend at Dorothy Karnes Park in Jefferson County. And the main thing I'm calling is wondering if at Rutabaga they are offering a class this year on making, you know, the conventional traditional snowshoes. I had signed up to go to a class up at Barkhausen Nature Preserve up in Green Bay, or just north of Green Bay, and ironically it got canceled due to a huge snowfall a couple years ago on a Saturday. So, wondering if that class is available at Rutabaga and what the cost is on that.
Really good question. I haven't really booked one yet, because what I usually do is I get phone calls from 5 or 6 people and I'll say, okay, I'll put one together now. So, one, if you want to get 5 or 6 of your friends together, I'll find a way to put on a class. What I really want to do is put one on in like September, October, because then you can get them done and varnished and ready so you can use them during the season.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get them done just in time for it to thaw. But, they put that in the back of my head and try and figure if I can get on the schedule for late September, early October. That'd be really fun. I miss doing it.
All right. So tell you what, Justin, get some people together, and or anybody listening can just call, you know.
Just pop me an email.
Just go to Rutabaga. What's your web?
It's Rutabaga.com.
Rutabaga.com.
It's Darren B. at Rutabaga.
There we go. Thanks, Justin. We had actually Sue and sent us on our Facebook page. She said, we're so lucky to have a snowshoe trail right across the road from where we live. Every day we snowshoe on it. There's a pair of porcupines way up at a pine tree she saw today. It's fun to see them every day. And now they've stripped a nearby poplar tree. So it is fun to get out there. Tom and Portage emailed, just started snowshoeing this year. Absolutely love it. I go almost every day. It's excellent exercise. Good way to beat the winter blues. And I think more people need to get out and get over not liking the cold weather and get outside and enjoy those winter sports. There are no bugs to contend with. Scenery's beautiful. State wildlife areas, great places to go. And he thinks snowshoeing is underutilized as a sport. And you probably agree.
I did not pay him to say that. He's absolutely right. I've got some friends that have moved here. My church has a fairly young congregation because we're pretty close to Eagle Heights. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people move here and, you know, they don't really spend much time outside. They're in graduate school and they complain about the winter. I said, look, you got to embrace it. You know, mm-hmm. you got to do it. And snowshoeing is the easiest way to do it. In fact, I'm taking about 8 guys tonight out to the Arboretum just because they all said, I've never done it before. I said, well, I got a bunch in the back of my truck. We're going to go out and walk around for an hour and a half and just so they can feel what it feels like.
Oh, and they're gonna have a lot of fun.
It's a gateway drug to winter.
Clark in Wausau, how do you? Hi, Clark.
Good afternoon. A couple, 3 weeks ago, I went up to Rib Mountain. Friends of Rib Mountain had a snowshoe walk, and went up. They had the lightweight aluminum. I really enjoyed it. I went home, and I actually have a pair of old, probably 50-year-old traditional style snowshoes hanging in the garage that I bought in a rummage sale or something. Is there a way that I can I use those? Do I need to do anything? They're the regular wooden style with a, I don't know if you call them catgut or whatever, and with the leather bindings. Can I just strap those on and go, or is there some kind of treatment I have to do or something first?
The short answer is maybe. If you've got, if they're in good shape and the varnish on the, it's actually called babiche, it's rawhide, it's not catgut, that would be mm-hmm. interesting though. Like a tennis racket, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as long as the varnish that's on them is sealing the rawhide and the wood, you're good to go.
I guess. Yeah, it's in good shape, but I didn't know if I should varnish it first.
I would. Yeah, you might as well. So just hit it with a stiff bristle brush, like a mushroom brush works really well. You know, really scrub it good, get all the dust off. Don't wash it. And then get some good spar varnish from a local marina, West Marine, someplace like that. It's expensive, but it's, you know, your time's worth way more than a $6 can of Minwax, right? It's good stuff. It's more flexible. It's more waterproof. And your bindings are probably shot, my guess is. Are they leather?
Yes.
Yeah, they're probably rotted if they've been sitting up there that long. They're going to stretch. Your foot's going to fall out. So I would recommend, try them first. Throw some leather conditioner on there, like some Neat's Foot Norwegian oil or Neat's Foot oil or something like that. But my guess is they're just going to be really stretchy and your foot's just going to fall out.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Have an open line or two. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Julia in Mondovi, we turn to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is, I have a pair of the traditional wooden varnished bear paw type, or I guess they're more like a teardrop type. They're rounded on the top and the bottom, or the front and the back.
Yeah, it's called a Western bear paw. That's
okay,
kind of
Western
the
bear paw. Uh-huh. And I have those, and I really liked those. But I bought my husband a pair of the aluminum ones. They're Alaskan style. I think they're 8x24, and they're the same, you know, type of a shape. What I noticed, and I haven't been out on my for a while because I have a back issue, but when he first went out, because we have deep snow now after that, you know, 23 inches or whatever, some places are, you know, 2-3 feet deep. And I noticed he sunk quite a bit. Now, I don't ever remember sinking with my snowshoes, and I'm just wondering if it's because the snow can push up through that rawhide, and the other, you know, newer style is just a flat solid, or not a flat, but I mean, you know, like a solid piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
or is that how it is usually? I mean, he's not a big man. He's, you know, about 160 pounds.
And that shoe might be just a tad on the small side for him if he's in powdery conditions. But this is kind of like a Catholic Protestant thing, okay? I feel like I'm in Northern Ireland and I'm a snowshoe guy. So there are people who love traditional shoes and think they're just the best, that they have best flotation and all this other stuff. There's people who love modern shoes because they're no maintenance and you just put them on. The truth is there's good in both of them. My opinion is for more unconsolidated, fluffier snow, a traditional shoe works better. And the reason it does is the snow actually doesn't come up through the webbing very much, because of the nature of how snow works. When you push on it, it packs, right? And so when you step on the shoe, the larger area actually packs the snow down. When it's a solid deck, it does that too. But I actually think that the surface area is enhanced by having that webbing there. I have no scientific proof of it other than, you know, building an igloo. You take powdery snow, you push on it, and it suddenly is solid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I answered your question, didn't I?
That was another, and I had one other quick question. He has, like, the pack shoes, you know, boots, because he always has a problem with cold feet, you know, poor circulation or whatever. So he couldn't wear those with the snowshoes. Do they make a really... I mean, high insulated boot that will fit a snowshoe binding, or what do you typically use for, you know, to keep your feet warmer? I mean, besides really good pairs of socks and liner socks, but.
Yeah, another great question. Bindings are interesting. Some of them will accommodate a very large, you know, Sorel type boot, and some of them are a little bit smaller and have more of a standard hiking boot size. Most of them are adjustable enough, especially, you know, traditional shoes, definitely. I actually use Mukluks a lot, which is a, you know, leather bottom with a canvas top. So it's kind of built-in snow gaiter. And they're very soft and very flexible, almost like a moccasin with a felt liner in them. My feet never get cold, ever.
Oh,
cool. And, I didn't even think of that Mukluk.
Yeah, okay. They work great. There's lots of different places that have them. It's one you might look at. A man named Dan Cook, who's up in the Twin Cities area, has a company called Cook Custom Sewing. It's Cook with an E. He builds he's a winter camper. He builds canoe gear as well. He always comes to Canucopia. But he's got a Mukluk that he builds that is designed for dog sledders. I don't know if it's small enough to fit into a modern binding, but it certainly fits into a traditional binding.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Judith just reminded me for the caller earlier who was wondering about workshops. There's a Sandhill Outdoor Skills Workshop.
Yeah.
And it's April 2nd and 3rd. It's on snowshoe weaving. And 9 a.m. Saturday to 3 p.m. Sunday, I think it's. It's $185, but you get the wood frame, the lacing, the bindings, instructions, the Saturday supper, a Sunday breakfast, and a dormitory stay. All of that, which is, you know, $185 is pretty good.
That's a really good deal. I would do it. When I taught him up at McKenzie Center, it was about $225. Now, I included bindings, so.
Yeah.
That's a steal. I mean, a new pair of traditional. Laced shoes, it goes anywhere from $250 to $300.
Yeah, so
it's a great deal.
It's a great deal, and a chance to, there's a, I think it's limited to 12 people, so it's a pretty good deal. The DNR website, I think it's on there, the Sandhill Outdoor Skills Workshops calendar. So Sandhill Outdoor Skills Workshops DNR, put that in a search engine. And it's going to pop up. You're going to find it. It's from 9 a.m. Saturday to 3 p.m. Sunday, April 2nd and 3rd.
That's about how long it takes to lace one shoe. So what you usually do in those classes, we try and finish one and get another one started. Because if you finish one, the first one takes four times longer than the second one.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start seeing the patterns and going, okay, I get it.
Yeah. All right. So Deb in Dubuque, we go to you. Hi, Deb.
Hi there. I have a problem because I have a tear in my tendon, my left foot. So I can't cross country ski anymore because I can't glide. It rips. Anyway,
yeah.
I want to try snowshoeing, but can I use my ski boots on snowshoes?
Oh, really good question. Yes. I'm trying to think. There is a company, and I got to think of who it is. I'm getting old. Anyway, yeah, there you can get a binding on the boot or on the snowshoe that you clip your cross country ski boot into, and it's actually a really elegant solution.
Okay, and what kind of snowshoes do you recommend for me to even try? Because this is new for me.
That's a longer conversation. Why don't you send me an email or give me a call? We can just talk about it because
okay.
I want to learn more about your injury and how much you weigh and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I'm happy to do that for you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. Go to rutabaga.com.
Actually,
or just straight email to Darren.
Darren B. Or you can call my number, which is 608-819-0059. That's my direct line.
819-0059. All right. There you go, Deb. Thank you very much for calling. Joanne in Vilas County. Hi.
Hi.
And what can we do for you?
Oh, actually, I just wanted to make a comment, and it's interesting that your last caller was talking about some foot problems. I had heel spurs and some knee issues. I'm 63 now and started snowshoeing about 2 years ago, and it was just amazing how easily I was able to navigate with snowshoes and enjoy the winter in the woods up here. And never had any issues at all with the heel spurs or anything when I was snowshoeing. Now, I'm certainly just a recreational snowshoer, but snowshoeing really is fabulous. And so I'm encouraging any of your listeners who may have some of those physical problems to get out and try it. It's been fabulous for me. And I noticed many times if we would take a break and we'd take our shoes off and I would, our snowshoes off and try walking on some of the snow, boy, I was having trouble with my heels.
Yep. Yeah, and I've heard that so many times from people who want to go from a higher impact, higher energy activity to a lower energy activity. A lot of sea kayakers now are former backpackers because they want to do backpacking, but their knees are just kind of worn out. You can't carry a 40-pound pack, but you can carry 60 pounds in a sea kayak, and it's aquatic backpacking, basically. So people who used to do more high-impact sports are turning to snowshoeing for health reasons. So, yeah.
And I know we're going to have you back. I'm hoping that we have you back before Canucopia, March 11th.
I think it's the 9th I'm coming back,
Coming back on the 9th. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks, Darren, so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. Great guy and really fun to have him with us. He'll be back. And March 9th, did you say? Yeah, I think it was March 9th. He will be back. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.